Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
Let's jump into God's Word. Luke 18, verse 9. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. So the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. Oh, thank you, God. I'm not like the other cheaters, sinners, and adulterers. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. Verse 12, I fast once a week and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, for I'm a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home what? Say it with me, justified. Say it again, justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. The Via Dolorosa, the Latin word for the way of suffering, the 600-meter journey that we're studying of Christ through the streets of Jerusalem to Calvary, sets up our entry into heaven. The purpose of the Via Dolorosa was to complete the salvation, the redemption of mankind so we could go to heaven, because all of us will go either heaven or hell. We're eternal beings, and depending on what we do with Jesus will determine where we end up. And I don't know about you, but I want to get to heaven. I want to get in, man. I'm going to get in. I remember taking our kids to a theme park once, and we lined up for the ride and they weren't at the right height. Remember, you got that height stick? And I'm like, I just mortgaged the house to pay for seven kids to get into this theme park. We are going on every ride there is. And they said, sorry, sir, he's not tall enough. I think it was one of my boys. And I'm like, damn it, what am I going to do? I'm going to get entry. I'm not backing off. I'm going to find a way. So we sort of turned around, went to the back of the line, and I'm just thinking height. And we're next to a garden, and there were some sticks. And I thought, okay, I'll get the sticks. And I broke the sticks, four pieces, about that long, and I tied them under his shoe with the laces. And that got him at least 2 inches, good 50 mil. And so he's like stomping with these sticks under his feet, and he got into the ride, baby. And I got the ride, got my money's worth. You know, we'll do anything for entry. But let's talk about entry into heaven. This parable is a story of two groups of people trying to gain entry to heaven. There's a Pharisee and there is a tax collector. One was justified, one wasn't. This word justified in the Greek is dikaiavo, dikaiavo. It means a legal and formal acquittal from guilt by God the judge. So this parable we're going to study sort of outlines a couple of things when it comes to being justified. Number one, we're not refused entry because of the bad things we've done. We're not refused entry because of bad things we've done. So here's a tax collector. He comes to the temple. Now, a tax collector, if you don't know, he would win a contract by the Roman Empire to take money out of his countrymen to give back to the governor of Rome to bring oppression over the city of Jerusalem. And if there was any surplus that he gained over that contract that he tendered for, he would keep it. So traditionally, tax collectors would take as much as they could. They would extort it because they get to pocket all the surplus left over. And here's the problem with a tax collector. There's no accountability. There's no recourse. There's no justice. If you are ripped off, tough. There is nothing you could do. So they're a law unto themselves. They were traitors. They were despised. They were hated, to put it in sort of context. Now, this tax collector represents a group of people who don't think they're good enough. Because of their shame, their guilt, their past, the labels, the things they've done, that they'll never be accepted. And you and I can fall into that thinking if we don't understand the Via Dolorosa and what Jesus did. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to what? To forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The problem is this group, instead of accepting forgiveness, they carry the guilt and the shame with them because their identity is in the bad things they've done. Even Christians cannot fully understand and comprehend the justification through Christ, so we carry this shame, this guilt, like this tax collector. 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. When we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're actually a new creation. We're born again, the Bible says. But the problem is, although we're new, we live with our old nature. We live with our old thinking. We live with our old identity that's based on what we do, not who we are in Christ. Well, what about you today? Are you like a tax collector who lets your sins, your past, your mistakes hold you back? Are you allowing your actions, your fallings and your failings to kind of keep you at a distance from Christ? This tax collector stood at a distance. He didn't even dare lift his eyes. Sometimes we can lose intimacy with our God because we're just so messed up of what we've done. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. Who am I? And that can cause a distance between us and our God. The Via Dolorosa, when Jesus died on the cross, he died to remove that distance, to bring that intimacy. But we have to accept his forgiveness. And that's hard for us to do. I probably suffer, to be honest, from the tax collector syndrome. Well, I never think I'm doing enough. I'm so hard on myself. I don't know enough. I'm not leading well enough. You know, I'm carrying the responsibility of a church. And how do I fix people's problems? There's so much pain. There's so much suffering. And the reality is, I'm not enough. But Jesus is. And rather than wallow in my limited state, I should be aware of the limitlessness that we have in Christ. And so it's just another form of pride if I think I'm no good. Just trust God. Realize we're in our weakness, we are made strong. And this is still something I wrestle with. Far too often I'm defined my identity by what I do, not who I am. There's a constant battle that God plays upon my heart to wake me up to say, it's not what you've done, it's what I've done. Don't let your thinking separate you or build this gap. We should boldly step into his presence because of what Jesus did. The Via Dolorosa gives us hope today. Hebrews 4:15, we don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one, check this out, who's been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness. Even in worship, I think we're timid. I think we kind of even hold back in church, you know, just not too sure and can't really get into God like I should because of our fear or failings or labels or baggage that we carry. But let us approach the throne of grace with boldness so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time. Jesus knows what you're going through. He's been through it with you. He's not some distant God that doesn't understand your pain and your suffering. He's been all man and all God on this earth. He understands. He walks with you. He is for you. Don't let your dysfunction separate you from God. Don't let that works mentality or being less than or shame and guilt hold you back from intimacy. Louis Giglio says, there is no sin too great, no past too messy, no person too broken that God's grace cannot reach out and redeem. It's almost like if we say, God, my problems are too big for your forgiveness, it's almost like we're slapping him in the face and saying the Via Dolorosa, the journey of the cross, the death and resurrection isn't enough. It is. But we just have to get over ourselves and realize that it's not about us, it's about our God and what he's done on the cross, so that we can boldly walk into his presence. God, I love you. I know I've stuffed up. I know I've messed up today. I know I've had some bad thoughts, and I know I can be selfish, and I get it, God, but forgive me. And because of your forgiveness, hey, we're good. We're tight. We can do life together. I'm not identified. In fact, you cast my sins away as far as the east is from the west, that we can walk together, we can talk together, that I don't have to wallow in my shame and my guilt, but God, I can enter your presence with boldness. I can step in and talk and pray and be with you because of what you did on the cross. Not because of who I am, but because of who you are. Number one, we're not refused entry because of bad things we've done. The second thought is, we're not given entry because of good things we've done. So the other extreme or contrast to the tax collector is the Pharisee. He stands up and thinks, I'm pretty good. I'm certainly not as bad as that guy. I'm not as bad as him. I mean, he's really bad. And this Pharisee thanks God for his righteous life, his achievements, his holy actions, his religious practices and rituals, and gives him an overinflated confidence in God that he thinks he's earned it. And he represents this group of people, they're sort of judgy. They're a little bit, I'm better than you. They're a little bit prideful. It's called spiritual pride. You know, I get a church. I give money. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I'm not as bad as the others. You might not be as bad. You might be pretty good. But the Bible says, Romans 3:10, no one is righteous. Even if you are the best person in this room, it's not good enough. Because no one is righteous. Not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless. No one does good, not even one. No one is sinless. Some people are better than others, but no one measures this sinless perfection that God is looking for. So this is kind of thinking, if you've been doing church for a while, it can creep in really sneakily. And I think in my life, I can bounce between the tax collector and the Pharisee syndrome, where it leads to spiritual pride. And the problem with spiritual pride is it blinds us from seeing our shortcomings. C.S. Lewis says, pride is the mother hen under which other sins are hatched. When our identity is rooted and grounded in spiritual pride, we will treat others like the Pharisee treated the tax collectors. How do you know how, if you've got spiritual pride, how are you treating others? Come on, let's be honest. Let's call it out. You're kind of looking at them, hey? You're seeing what they're wearing, looking at how they act in the office, kind of looking down on them a little bit. We see ourselves as being a little better. The good things you do aren't ever going to be good enough to bridge the gap between you and God. Isaiah 64 says, we're all infected and impure with sin. We're born with this sin nature. And when we display our righteous deeds, they're nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins will sweep us away like the wind. So if you base your identity on your righteousness, you'll be forever in this hamster wheel of pursuing something you can never attain. You see the danger in the tax collector syndrome where you're not good enough? And the danger in the Pharisee syndrome when you think you're better than others? Both of them are flawed, and both of them will prevent you from entering into heaven. Because Jesus used the De La Rosa to make a way. Do you have an overinflated view of yourself? Do you think you're a little bit better than others? Are you quick to judge? Are you slow to show grace? Are you quick to accuse? The only thing you've ever brought to the table in this deal with Jesus is a reason for him to die for you. That's your entire contribution. I like that. We're not refused entry because of bad things we've done. We're not given entry because of the good things we've done. And the final thought is this: we gain entry only through Jesus. Nothing and no one else. So this parable, we see two pictures of two people groups. And like me, you might bounce between two, or you've seen yourself sort of leaning to one or the other ends of the spectrum. One is steeped in sin and defined by that sin. The other is bound in self-righteousness and defined by that delusion. Yet both individuals and both people groups they represent, the answer for their lives is exactly the same: Jesus. Jesus is the answer for both people groups. His fulfillment of the law, his shedding of the blood, his death, his victory over sin, his resurrection is enough. And it is he that defines who we are. A.W. Tozer says, Jesus is not one of many ways to approach God, nor is he the best of several ways. Come on, church, he is the only way. Only way. We can give some praise to our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, our Good Shepherd. He is the only way. As the musicians come and I close, Colossians 2:13 says this: he erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us. He has taken it out by the way, by nailing it to the cross. The Via Dolorosa, the journey of suffering to Calvary. It is the cross. Christ has erased every part, every works-based requirement. It doesn't matter how good you are, how bad you are. It doesn't matter what you've done, because it's in him that we live and in him alone. Galatians 2:20. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing. Our righteousness is not in the law and our works. It's only through Christ. So here's our conclusion today as we wrap up and you look at your life based on God's holy scripture. Are you focused on the bad things you've done? Are you hard on yourself? Are you beating yourself down that creates a gap between you and God? Or are you focused on the good things that you're doing and that you're better than most? That is providing a gap between you and God with intimacy. What's the answer? To focus on Jesus. Then everything that he accomplished at the cross. As we worship, what a beautiful name. I want us to stand and I want us to realize that it's Christ that saves us. Let's all stand together. He is worthy to approach God, right? Jesus, perfect. He's worthy to approach God. Therefore, I am worthy. He is victorious. Therefore, I have victory. He is loved. Therefore, I am loved. He is favored by God. Therefore, I am favored. He is the Prince of Peace. Therefore, I have peace. He is the breaker of chains. Therefore, I am free. His life was righteous. Therefore, I am righteous. He is the Son of God. Then I am a son or a daughter of God. Let's sing and worship.